Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're visiting us for the first time, or you are a guest this weekend, we're so happy that you're here. We hope you feel at home among us. There was a man that was known as a very successful businessman, but also as a very greedy person. He had managed to isolate all of his family and friends, and he lived basically on his own. There were only three people in this world that he trusted: his doctor, his priest, and his lawyer. And so when he heard that his health was not going so well and that the end was near, he decided to take them out to lunch. And he said to them, "I want to take everything I've made with me, because none of my friends and family deserve a single dime. They never visited me in the hospital when I was sick. They never called to see how I was doing. They never cared for me." And so the priest began to say, "You know, you got to forgive, just get over it. Maybe you should reach out to them." That didn't work. The doctor said, "Come on, you know, we need some of that money. Why are you going to take it with you? We need some of that money for, you know, I have friends in medical missions. We can help the third world. Lots of people that are suffering." And the lawyer said to him, "Well, you know, I'm your lawyer, and I'm in charge of preparing your will, so I will do whatever you wish." Sure enough, the man died. And the services began, and the priest got to the funeral home, said the prayers, gave the blessings, read the psalms, did all that, and very discreetly took the part of the money he was given to put into the coffin in a discreet envelope near the feet of the deceased. The doctor took his part, paid his respects, did the same, and then the lawyer followed. The next day they were on their way to the burial, and guess who was in the family limo? The doctor, the priest, and the lawyer. And they're going back and forth talking about their friend's ridiculous wish to take all the money inside the coffin with him. He wanted to take it all with him. And immediately the doctor begins to sob. The other two say, "Doctor, what happened?" "Well, I gotta tell you, I didn't put all the money in there. I took 10,000 of it out for my friends in the missions. You know, they needed it for those medical missions. They needed the medical equipment. It was ridiculous for this old guy. He's already dead. Why did he want to take it all with him?" Shortly after that, the priest begins to cry. Say, "Father, what happened?" He says, "Well, I also didn't put all of it in there. I took 5,000 out because the roof had a few leaks at church and we needed to fix it, and I didn't have anywhere to get it, so I just, you know, I said, this old man's never going to notice. He's dead. Why not take the 5,000 and fix the roof?" The lawyer said, "You should be ashamed of yourselves. You, the medical doctor, you. We trust you with our life. We trust you with our intimacies. You know everything about us. You should be ashamed of yourself to not follow your friend's wishes. And you, man of the cloth, you priest, you're supposed to be honest. How could you do this? You should have done what I did. See, I took all of the cash, put it in my bank account, and then I wrote him a personal check for the entire amount. And he can cash it when he gets there." You see, greed is real. Greed is real. And as a matter of fact, oftentimes as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we don't think of ourselves as greedy because we're mostly generous, loving, caring people. But I would say that in the developed world, there are greeds or forms of greed that we don't easily identify. Let me give you an example. When I was kind of a youngish theology student, I remember we went on a mission trip to Guatemala. And there were about 10 of us. There was a deacon and some seminarians and some lay people. And we went to one of the most rural areas and poorest areas in Guatemala. And when we got there in the middle of the night after the long trip and the whole thing, you know, you go with a big group, things happen. So it took a while to get to the place where we were staying, which was like an old abandoned retreat house, dusty old place. I remember because my allergies flared up crazy that day. And I could see, you couldn't see your hand in front of you. I'm telling you, you could put your hand right in front of your face and you couldn't see it. That's how dark it was. So at nighttime we could see nothing, but then when God's light came up the next day, you know, the sun rose, all of a sudden, we looked out the window, we went outside and we saw the most beautiful nature, beautiful green, you know, trees and beautiful flowers and mountains, and it was amazing. One of the first things we saw around 6:30 that morning was a mother, a young mother, with about four little kids walking behind her, and she was carrying a big old thing on her head, and she had some buckets in her hand. So imagine carrying big old heavy thing plus empty buckets plus the kids walking behind her. So she had her hands literally, I mean, they were more than full. And I remember when the deacon approached her and asked, "Hey, where are you going?" She says, "I'm going to the river to get water. I do this every day." Now imagine this woman with these four little kids walked maybe 2 miles or 3 miles from where she lived, from her home, to go get water by the river. We don't think of that too often, do we? I mean, you may see that in the National Geographic. You may see that, you know, in one of these specialty channels on TV, as you're flipping the channels, you may see that kind of poverty, but you don't think of it as real. As a matter of fact, we go to our faucets and we turn on the water and we let it run. We want it to get warm. Sometimes we're in the kitchen and it just runs, or sometimes we're at the shower and we're trying to get it just right or whatever, and water and water, and we waste so many of the resources we've been given. We do the same thing with food. And I believe that that's what Jesus was trying to say to this man who was complaining about his inheritance. He was saying, be careful about the greed. Watch out for greed. I don't know if you know this, but in the time of Jesus, the rabbis helped to settle disputes among families, and that's why the gospel begins with this thing of, you know, this man saying, tell my brother to give me my inheritance. In the Mosaic law, you have the inheritance set up in a very kind of funny way. We wouldn't like it today. The eldest got more than the rest. Usually got double or even more than that, and then the eldest had to distribute the inheritance in such a way where the rest was given to the younger children. But the eldest always got the most. It was like there was something special about the firstborn. And so, of course, this person who's complaining to Jesus is just saying, you know, I just want my inheritance. I want my part. So either the brother didn't give it to him when he had to give it to him, or he thought the brother was taking more than he needed. But ultimately, Jesus uses the opportunity to speak about greed and what we do with what we have. And I think as followers of Jesus, we have to be aware that we live in abundance. We've been given so much. We fall into greed when we convert our things, our money, our wealth, our property, whatever it is that you have, when we convert those things into idols, when we make them the most important thing, and when we do that, God stops being first. And so we have to watch out for that, because that begins in our hearts. It begins in our hearts. What do we give our hearts to? You know, St. Paul said it to the Colossians today, and it actually comes up even in the Old Testament lesson, idolatry comes up. But St. Paul summarized it great. He says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We've been transformed by the death and resurrection of Christ. By our baptism, we become part of that mystery. And so we too must die with Christ to rise with Christ. We must think differently. And we must begin to think differently. And that's how we combat greed. There's another part to this gospel that's very interesting. And it has to do with the fact that the man had made all these plans, right? In the parable of Jesus, he had all his stuff stored up. Everything was fine. He thought, I have great stability for myself. I got everything I need. Now I just have to relax, be merry, you know, have a grand old time, and that's it. I got nothing else to do. And the parable says something great. You know, God comes to him and says, you fool, this very night your life here will end. What will all this matter? There's a story about the difference between heaven and hell. Jesus says for us to set our hearts on the things of heaven. Big difference between heaven and hell. They say that someone had a vision of hell, and the vision was that when people got up to hell, there was a big table, or went down to hell, I'm sorry, different direction. When they went down to hell, there was a big buffet with a big table, and people had big old spoons. And because there was all this food and all this buffet and all this, they were all grabbing their spoons and they were trying to feed themselves. And the spoons were so large that they could never get the food into their mouth. So there was great suffering because there was all this wonderful food, big banquet, abundance of everything, all that stuff the doctor tells you you can't eat. And they couldn't put it in their mouth. And then someone says they saw a vision of heaven. And it was the same table with the same large spoons and the same buffet. But there was a big difference. The people in heaven were not thinking about filling themselves. They grabbed the spoon, filled it with the good stuff, and they reached across the table to give food to their brothers and sisters in front of them. And so everyone was filled and satisfied because everyone was concerned about the other, giving to the other, generously providing for the other. So there was joy. Same table, same food, different attitude, right? And those different attitudes lead to different actions. What Jesus is saying to us today is, if we have greed in our hearts, we will act that way. If we have love in our hearts, we will act that way. Be careful with greed. And if we take it a step further, when Jesus uses the image of this very night your life will be over, what Jesus is saying is, you know what? Your treasure's not here. The treasure you're building up and accumulating here, that's not your real treasure. Your treasure's in heaven. Keep your eyes fixed on that which cannot end, because the fact is, we're all going to do two things. You know that, right? We're all going to pay taxes and die. All of us. If we understand that we are being called, if we understand that we are being called to live differently in this world, with our hearts set on the treasure, with our hearts set on God, then there is no room for greed in our lives. But you look around our world, and every day the greedy get greedier. Injustice is a reality we'd rather not talk about. The fact is, we're not extending the big spoon across the table very well. We're not paying attention to the needs of others very well. As a matter of fact, injustice and inequity is becoming more and more of a reality in our world. How do we respond as followers of Jesus? How do we respond as people of faith? We must respond with greater generosity, with greater love. We must respond by remembering that this life is fragile and this too will end. There's an image in my mind I will never forget. When I first started out my desire to serve God as a priest, I was in the college seminary, and what was in style at that time, the real cool social justice ministry at that time, was to go to Virginia to work with migrants. Because migrant workers, there were lots of them in Virginia. So a lot of my buddies in the seminary decided, yeah, we're going to go up to Richmond. In that diocese, they have an incredible migrant ministry. And they would even come and recruit. They would recruit in the seminary. So I was almost signed up when a priest friend from Florida said, hey, Albert, you want to work with migrants? Forget about going to Virginia. They're right here where you live in your own state. So I went for 3 months to live in a little town. I don't know if you've ever heard of this town, Ruskin. Have you heard of Ruskin? It's 20 miles south of Tampa. You know what I'm talking about, right? And at that time, 25, 27 years ago, 30 years ago, in Ruskin, there was an incredible amount of migrant workers, tomatoes, all kinds of peppers, strawberries, all that going on there in Ruskin. So when I first got there, I didn't know what to expect. But I got into a Volkswagen, an old Volkswagen, VW Bug, like the one I, you know, used to see my dad in, and actually was my first car. An old VW Bug from the 70s, and we went with two nuns, two Mexican nuns, into the field. The VW could hardly get through the, you know, through the terrain. But I remember we got there, and the first few days that we were there, we went to visit a home. Now, remember, this is the United States of America. This isn't a foreign country I'm talking about. It isn't somewhere far away. It was here, right here. When I saw the housing of these workers with the dirt floors and the horrible conditions, and actually the quarters, the room, was so tiny for a mother, father, and their children. And I remember we used to sit on milk cartons. You remember those old plastic milk cartons? We used to sit on them. That was the furniture. So we sat there, and I remember that one of the kids in the house, we were there for a Bible study, but one of the kids in the house saw that there was a bottle of Coca-Cola. And remember, there were four kids, mom and dad. Remember those old classic bottles that were thin? Remember the glass bottle with the... So I remember this little boy opened up the bottle. And just as he was about to take the first sip, the mom looked at him. You know how mothers have a tendency to look at you like... You know that mom look? The mom gave him the look. He was about 8 years old. Maybe 7 or 8 years old. And all the mom had to do was go... And when the mom did that, the boy grabbed the bottle. I'll never forget. It's like it's in my mind right now, the picture. The boy went like this and extended it out to me and to the nuns. Like saying, you guys are the guests. You guys take the first sip. Because they were all going to drink that one Coke bottle. It wasn't like they had five. It wasn't like there was more in the fridge. Hey, go to the fridge and get more. There was no fridge. There was nowhere else to get another one. That was it for the whole family. Obviously, that child had been raised in a very generous home. Even though they did not have much abundance, he was taught generosity. He was taught the value of sharing, even the little they had. And that picture has never left my mind. And I share it with you today because I believe that when that little boy extended that bottle and offered it to me, even though he really wanted to take a sip. He really wanted it. And he extended it to me and to those sisters that were there. That little boy was showing what Jesus is talking about. Don't give your hearts to passing things. Because even as important as they may seem, we are called to something more. We're called to put our hearts, we're called to remember the treasure is in the kingdom of heaven. And everything that is here is passing. Everything that is here is not as important as we may think it is. We sin of idolatry when we make money and power and prestige the most important thing. And we sin of spiritual blindness when we're not able to see that even the little that we have is a blessing from God. Because you see, ultimately, what I believe the gospel's telling us today is remember that everything you have is blessing. And blessings multiply when you share, when you give, when you share your time, your talent, your treasure, when you share who you are with others, then blessings are multiplied. When you share even the little that you may have, the resources that seem so scarce, even when you share just a little bit, you are demonstrating that your heart is in God. You're demonstrating that you are about God. Jesus wants us to remember that we've been called to so much more. Beware of greed. Beware of the injustices that are the result of greed. Beware of indifference to those who are suffering and those who are in need. Beware of wasting your resources, whether it's water or food or whatever you may have in abundance. Beware of wasting all of that. Because the truth is, the more we waste, the more indifference we are demonstrating to those in greatest need. And the fact is, we're all connected. We all need to extend the spoon. We all need to reach out and give someone else the first sip. We all need to be more generous because we recognize that God has blessed us all the more. We are blessed. Everything is blessing. When we recognize that everything is blessing, we open our eyes in a new way to the grace of God, to the goodness of God in our lives. When you wake up in the morning and you feel a pain in your back, or a pain in your side, or you're worried about something at work, or you're worried about a problem, remember, everything is blessing. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.